sometimes when preachers get up and announce they beg an interest in your prayers, a lot of times you think that's just a formality for them to get started. But tonight, I need your prayers. And I need your prayers because I felt like Brother Tim has so lifted you up glorifying God that I have a fear that I might not glorify God tonight. So I need your prayers. I'd like to draw your attention to some familiar scriptures found in John chapter 14. He begins by saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." He said, "If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." First thing I want to ask is this question: who is Jesus speaking to at this time? He's speaking directly to Peter. He's speaking indirectly to 10 other apostles. And he's speaking ultimately to millions and millions of people all at one time. When he says in verse 14 here, "Let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God, believe also in me," I ask this question. When he says, "You believe in God, believe also in me," is that two statements of fact, or is that two statements calling for action? Important question. Is that two statements of fact, or is it two statements calling for action? Now, if we had been there and had actually heard him say it, we might have got that answer from the way he said it. And I'll try to demonstrate that. If I said it like this, "Ye believe in God, believe also in me," then you would understand I'm trying to call you to action. But if I said it like this, "Ye believe in God, believe also in me," then I'm stating some facts. That if you believe in God, you believe also in me. We're one and the same. But since I wasn't there, and I didn't get to hear how he said it to understand, are these calls for action, or are they statements of fact, then I must get my answer from the context of the scriptures. And I've come to this conclusion. In my thinking, the first is a statement of fact, but the second is a call to action. That he told Peter, "Ye believe in God," but he's telling him to do this, "but believe also in me." And you might say, "Wait a minute. I thought Peter already stated that he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ." We go to Matthew chapter 16, and Jesus, in verse 16, asked those apostles this question, "But who do you say that I am?" And who was speaking? Peter. And Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So doesn't that prove that Peter believed also in the Lord Jesus Christ? In that sense, he did. He believed that Peter believed Jesus was the Christ, and he also believed he was the Son of the living God. But now I want to take this in the context by which John 14's in to show you why he's telling Peter in a call to action, "Believe also in me." How does he want Peter to believe also in him? Well, let's take the context of Scripture's comment. He says, "For in my Father's house are many mansions." I guess everybody's got a view of heaven. Don't you try to picture it in your mind from time to time? And I know some guys that their picture of heaven is, there must be a golf course up there more beautiful than Augusta, Georgia. I mean, that's heaven to them, and they've got to be this course that's going to be more beautiful than Augusta National. Another one's view is, there's going to be this lake and there's bass this big, and you're going to have your fill of catching them. Everybody's got some kind of view. Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about mine. I believe in heaven that there's literally mansions. Now, if I'm wrong on this, and there's some other explanation for these mansions, I don't want you to tell me about it, because I love my view. And I'll tell you why I believe there's literally mansions in heaven. Because Jesus says this, if it were not so, if there were some other explanation, then the first thought that you thought when I said, in my Father's house are many mansions, if there were some other explanation, I would have told you. You know, the first thoughts you have on a scripture is very important. And I'll show you another scripture where the first thought that you had was the correct thought. It takes other men to explain away the truth. And that's Romans 9:13, when he says, "For Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." Now, what's the first thought when you read that? Well, God must have loved Jacob and he must have hated Esau. And if that hadn't been the truth, then the Lord would have explained it. And Paul would have explained it. But since you got it right on first thought, he just left it alone. There was no other explanation. So he said, if it were not so, I would have told you. Then he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, what's he referring to here? Is he talking about carpentry work in heaven? No, he said those mansions are already there. He is not talking about going to heaven to build you one of those mansions. Those are already there, but what he's talking about is going to the cross to do the legal work that you might possess one of those mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, here's a promise. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now in verse 6, he says this. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way. The way where? I am the way to the Father's house. I am the way to the Father's house. He didn't say, I just know the way. He says, I am the way. I am the way. Now, when it comes to the way of somewhere, there's two ways that we can understand the meaning of it. Like, someone that could ask you, do you know the way to Harvard? And I would give them this. I say, well, I would go to the airport, catch me a plane to Boston, rent me a car with a GPS on it, punch in Cambridge, follow the directions, find out what road the college is that the university is on, and follow those directions, and that's the way. The way here meaning direction. And by the way, what direction does the Bible give you to heaven? Direction. Every time the Bible talks about heaven and gives you the direction, he tells you to do what? Look up, lift up your heads. Heaven must be this way. Heaven must be this way. But there's another way to Harvard. And you might tell your children this. You want to go to Harvard? You need to make all A's. You need to make at least 30 on your ACT. Now I'm not talking about direction. I'm talking about conditions. And when Jesus says, I am the way, he's talking about I'm the condition. I am the condition to heaven. I am the condition that you, it's going to get you to my Father's house. Now, why is he telling Peter, let not your heart be troubled? Because although Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, there's one point that Peter, all over the scriptures, has had a lot of trouble with. And we'll look at that for just a second. But I want to say this about Peter. Here's an interesting thought, interesting point that you'll find about Peter. Whenever Peter was asked a question by the Lord, you'll find he always had the right answer. When the Lord asked him a question, who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But when Peter spoke out of turn, it was always something wrong. And that's a good lesson for us to learn. When he was there with Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he just spoke out of turn, what did he say? He said, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. I mean, I know he's excited. He had one of those moments that Brother Tim talked about being with the Lord. But you're going to make three tabernacles? You just need one tabernacle and exalt one. Lord asked him this question in Matthew 16. First he asked this question. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say Jeremiah. Some say Elias, Jeremiah's, John the Baptist, one of the prophets. Now, if I asked you this question tonight, who do people say that Sammy Odom is? And you come back with a report. Well, some think you're Jeremiah. Some think you're Elias, John the Baptist. My head would probably get about this big and I couldn't get out the door because that would be exalting me. But I'm going to tell you, that's not exalting Jesus Christ. Even as great as those men was, they're confusing him with sinful men. So he turned and he said, but who do you say that I am? And he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus says, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And he goes on to say, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And he's not saying that Peter's the church, rock the church is built on. He says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. And you think Peter now, the Lord has blessed him. He's had the Lord praising him that he could stay on that mountain forever. Then you look down in chapter 16 of Matthew to verse 21, and it says, and from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. He gave them the preview of what's fixing to happen to him. And he says it in pretty plain language. So it seems to us now after we know what it means. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Lord, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not happen unto thee. Now, sometimes I put myself in that picture of what I would say if I was the Lord. I say, okay, Peter, if that's not going to happen unto me, then you tell me how you going to get to heaven. If that don't happen to me, how you going to get to heaven? But Jesus says this unto Peter. He says, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. So Peter said, Lord, this is not going to happen unto you. Now we go back to John 14 and look back at John 13 and how it had just ended, and look at the extreme that Peter has went from and what he's went to. In verse 36 of John 13, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, and he says, whither I go, thou cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. He's went from this end of the spectrum to this end of the spectrum on this subject of Jesus laying down his life. He first said, Lord, you're not going to have to die, to this extent. Lord, I'll die with you. I'll die with you. The first time the Lord tells him, get behind me, Satan. Now look what the Lord tells him. Peter, before the cock crows, thou will deny me thrice. Well, if the Lord had told you first, called you Satan, and now he's going to tell you, before the cock crows, you will deny me thrice, wouldn't that give you reason to have a heavy heart? A heart that is troubled. Lord, I can't get this right. I first said, Lord, you're not going to have to die. To Lord, I'll die with you. So after Peter has been told that he will deny the Lord thrice, he comes down with a heavy heart, and the Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, that's a statement, but believe also in me. Not that I'm the Christ, not that I'm the Son of God, but believe in me that I am the way. I am the way to the Father's house. And in that, he's calling into action, and what will his action bring into him? Peace from a troubled heart. I finally want to get this straight. It's so easy for us after the fact to look and to understand these scriptures, and especially after we've had so many preachers explain them to us over the years. But this was hard for all the apostles. Go with me to Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, on this very fact of Jesus telling his apostles that he had to go to Jerusalem, he had to die, he had to be killed, look what it says here. Luke 18, verse 31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully intrigued, and spit upon, and they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Now read verse 34. And they understood none of these things. The apostles, Those that actually heard Jesus preach could not understand these simple words. And that comes to the next statement that Jesus makes in John 14. He says, I am the way and the truth. Speak to you just a moment about understanding the truth. Where do we find truth? Television? Well, one place the scripture tells us to find it is in the Lord's church. It's the pillar and ground of what? The truth. We find it in Jesus. He says, I am the truth. And we find it in the Lord's words. But in the Lord's words, we cannot find the truth alone. We must have the Lord's words and the Lord's guidance and spirit to understand it. Now, let's take a portion of scripture on this. When you go to John's Gospel, chapter 21, over there, you know, the Lord had told Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Well, the Lord comes back to Peter, and he asked Peter this question. And remember, when Peter's asked a question by the Lord, he always has the right answer. He said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? His answer was, Lord, I love you. So he says, Peter, he says, go feed my lambs. And he said the second time, Peter, lovest thou me? He said, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He said, go feed my sheep. And he comes back the third time. And I think he asked him three times because he'd given him a chance to make up for those three times he could have said that. Third time, again, Peter's heart gets troubled. He said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. He said, go feed my sheep. Well, Peter looks, and over here sits John. And he asked the Lord this question. He said, Lord, what's this disciple going to do? Isn't that the way we do all the time? We're told to do something. My dad used to tell me to do something. I look over at my sister, what's she going to do? You know. And the Lord answered him like this. He says, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now read the next verse. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him that he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? He was just giving him a hypothetical. The Lord never said John's not going to die. But see how easy it is to take the truth and to change the meaning of it. And that's why we can read God's word, it's truth, but we must pray for the holy guidance of the Lord to lead me in the truth of the truth. Now, so many times it's also important to know what a scripture didn't say. Back when Peter said, Lord, I'll follow thee even unto death. Jesus didn't say, no, you won't. He didn't say that. A lot of times that's what we read into what Jesus said. And we get that because he said, before the cock crows, you'll deny me thrice. But he did not say, no, you won't. Listen carefully to what Jesus really said to Peter when he says, I'll follow thee even unto death. Here's what Jesus really said. He says, whether I go, thou cannot follow me now. But thou shalt follow me afterwards. See, Peter thought he'd go right now. If you go in the, you got to go now, I'll go with you right now. He did not say Peter would not go ever. He said, thou will not follow me now. And why is that? Because what Jesus was doing now, he could only do alone. And that's go to the cross and prepare a way for every one of us by doing the legal work of paying our sin debt on Calvary's cross. And he did that alone by himself. But he does say this unto Peter, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Now, what does Jesus mean by this? Well, let's go back to John 21 over a verse that I conveniently skipped over. After Jesus had asked Peter three times, lovest thou me, feed my sheep. And in verse 18, Jesus says this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. And here's the picture. When we're young, we're able to put our clothes on by ourselves and go where we would. Have you ever been in a rest home and here's an old man that somebody's trying to help him put his pants on? And he's just there letting somebody get them on for him. That's the picture he's painting. But that word gird carries two different meanings to it. The word gird can mean to clothe yourself, to gird yourself, put your jacket on, your coat on. But the word gird means also to bind. You ever wonder how Peter died? Well, the scriptures don't emphatically tell us that, emphatically. So I read some commentaries upon the subject, and most of them agreed that Peter died by crucifixion in Rome. And usually when I read commentaries, I'll take it for what it is. Hopefully they get the truth, but I don't assume that's gospel until the Bible backs it up. Then I'll believe what commentaries write. But look what he says here when he's pointing this picture. He says, Peter, when you were young, you girded yourself and you went where you wanted to. But when you got old, you stretch forth your hands, and look at the picture he's painting. You stretch forth your hands, and another girded thee, whether thou wouldest not. And in verse 19, he says, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Now, what is this the picture of? He says, thou shalt not follow me now, but afterwards thou shalt follow me. When you're an old man, you're going to follow me. Well, where'd he go? Christ went to the cross. That's what he's talking about. I go to prepare a place for you. And he says, now you can't go with me, because this I must do alone. The only thing different between Christ going to the cross and Peter's going to the cross is this. Christ went to the cross to save his people from their sins. Peter took the cross for this, to glorify God. And any man give his life for the Lord is glorifying the Lord. No matter if man takes it from you. Peter didn't choose to die like that. Christ did. Christ chose to suffer the cross. Peter, he says here, another man gird thee where thou wouldest not. But now I tend to believe those commentaries based upon the Bible backing it up. What other picture is that than him telling a man that's like this, thy hand stretched out and they girded thee where thou wouldest not. They took him and hung him on a cross, and they said it was in Rome. But the Lord said, you'll follow me, but not now. What I got to do now, I've got to do it, and I got to do it by myself. So let not your heart be troubled, Peter. You've been this on this position about me dying to this position about me dying. But usually we find the truth right down the center. And as soon as Peter saw that, peace came to his heart. And that's when every child of God, peace comes to your heart when you actually see. And some preacher might try to tell you the way how to get to heaven. I doubt he knows the direction nor the conditions. But Jesus didn't say, I know the way. And think about this. There's not an airplane that can get you there. There's not a rocket that can get you there. Some tried to build a tower to get you there. That didn't get off the ground. Certainly not an elevator that can get you there, but I tell you something that can get you there. There was a ladder that could get you there. Jacob saw it in a vision. And that ladder was our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to try to give this, and you can take it or throw it out. But you know how many rungs was on that ladder? I believe there was one rung for every elect child of God. Because they'll all get there by that ladder. God bless you.